The Share Pickers Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now and live in full bright Technicolor on video on YouTube, if you want to check it out, it's Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. Hi, Vadim.
How are you doing, Justin?
In a nice white crisp shirt. That's do you do the ironing in your house, Vadim, or what?
No, we. I just go to the dry cleaners too.
Okay. How does that work out? Is that how much does it cost? To me, it's worth the effort paying because I hate ironing. My wife normally does it, but if I do it, it's just a waste of my time. I think I hate it. You know,
it's one of these rare things that is worth, in my opinion.
Outsourcing.
It costs about £2 or something a shirt.
Yeah.
You get a discount if you do your 5 shirts all at once or whatever. But the point being is, if you consider how painful it is and doing a proper job, you know, yeah, what I mean? So if I iron my shirts, I'll do it badly too. On top of it, it'll be extremely time consuming and poorly done.
Yeah, it's about that. And do you know what, when it comes to researching companies as well, it's almost done as a look at what's important, you know, and where you can make a difference and what makes a difference. Like I said, me ironing shirts, I've tried it in the past, and I think it's a waste of my time. It's a waste of everyone's time. The quality of output isn't very good. So outsource it to experts who can do it more efficiently, and you can spend your time doing something more efficiently.
Exactly.
But it's like efficient use of time, isn't it? You know, productivity, you know?
Absolutely.
Maybe that's why the UK productivity is not very good. There's people trying to iron shirts taking too long. But having said that, some good numbers out today. Of course, Bank of England announcement later on today, expect to keep rates on hold at 5.25. By the way, previously in the last member meeting, two members voted to hike. They're now suggesting those two members are now going to go move over to stay as it is, hold. And the one person voting for a reduction is going to stay as well. So it'll be interesting to see the mix, whether more people vote for a reduction or whether it stays the same. But interesting to see. But I don't know if you saw these numbers out today, but the PMI in the UK, which looks very good, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, services is 50.5, which is, of course, expansion territory. Now, the problem we had was that manufacturing was, you know, contracting a lot. But that even that's become better, and it's gone up like, beat the expectations. Let me just refresh that. But it seems like one of the rebound a little bit, you know? So we are, manufacturing 49.9, so 0.1% below contraction, but estimated to commit 47.9, so it's 2 percentage points up than that. So it seems like the economy is not dropping off a cliff, you know? It's fine, you know?
Yeah, basically, I mean, in my opinion, I think that rates are aggressively too high, and they're actually really seriously breaking the economy now, as in putting brakes on the economy. It's very difficult when inflation is still above, you know, whatever, 3% and sticky. But it just feels like the problem is solved. I mean, there's something I came across recently is the natural estimates on the natural rate, natural neutral rates are something like zero for the UK and Europe and even America. So, you know, if you factor in that the inflation target is 2%, so the natural rate should be zero to get to the inflation target of 2%. We're at 5% right now. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So we're slamming the brakes big time on the economy with the current rates. So we're not, you know, I used to think the natural rate was higher, that it was closer to you know, central bank rates should be closer to 2 or 3%. Looks like they should be closer to 0%, and we're at 5%. So I think hopefully this will get resolved soon, getting inflation down to 2. But we'll see.
Yeah, because I have to understand, it is like a tanker, you know, a super tanker trying to stop that. I mean, you shouldn't be waiting until inflation gets to 2%, because then it's too late. You've got to start putting the brakes on way before, lifting the brakes off way before that happens, because then you're going to crate the economy. So I'm sure they're pricing that in, but they're looking at maybe the services and wages and all that stuff. But I'm thinking, okay, hang on, but longer term effects, you know, it takes, like I said, up to 18 months for it to start taking effect, doesn't it? So anything they do. By the way, I've had a question from a member of my investment club at sharepickers.com, and you can't join yet. It's been shut for 6 months. I'm updating the site to do a search function, which, do you know what? I'm looking for the next big performer. And what I do by doing that, if you look at all the stats on stock performers, the best performing stocks over 3 to 5 year span, 60% of them start their life below 100 million market cap. Mm-hmm. So I filtered every single 100 million market cap. These are going to be revenue generating companies. And I look at growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, potential. And so I'm doing that. But anyway, back to what I'm saying is someone asked about what was it? Was it Spectral MD? I think went to the Nasdaq, didn't it?
Yeah.
Now what's happened to that?
So basically, it's now called Spectral AI. The ticker is MDAI. That's the new name on Nasdaq. So if you're looking for it, MDAI is the ticker. So look, this is they got onto Nasdaq via a SPAC deal. So if you remember, SPACs are the equivalent of AIM shells, but Nasdaq shells. The SPAC bought Spectral MD here, which was AIM listed. And then ever since then, it's been listed on Nasdaq. The problem with that is the share price substantially went down. The company struggled to raise capital, had to do a discounted placing in between the two listings. And it's basically struggled ever since as a listing there, not as a company, as a listing. So to the companies, you know, the story itself is very much intact. You know, the company continues to deliver their, you know, they have a $150 million BARDA contract ahead of them. 55 or something million odd is already committed now. And they're working towards, you know, the whole 150. And this is this is after receiving $100 million already from BARDA. So BARDA is, rather than going through the whole detail, basically it's a government agency that has sponsored the entire development of their product, which is a wound imaging device and AI backbone, hence the AI in Spectral AI. That's a lot of money. $250 million for the development of a product is a serious amount of money, and BARDA is still behind it, et cetera, et cetera. So the story is very much intact and going to plan. The problem is this issue of being a kind of a micro cap on Nasdaq, and you get stuck in this wild west of shorters. Okay. And I am personally utterly convinced that there's a shorting problem. They're stuck with a bunch of people shorting the stock there and making money off every rally. Now, the question is, how do you break out of that? And that's, I think, what the company is trying to do, both through marketing. They are marketing on both sides of the Atlantic, actually, because they still have many shareholders here. So, you know, that's the job ahead of them. They have to make sure the story gets out that the fact that they're grossly undervalued, in my opinion, that's without question. You know, it's a 30 million market cap business that has a $150 million contract. I mean, that just... It doesn't, you know, 30 or 45 million. Recently, they've had some good share price rallies. But there's a complete disconnect between the money put into this business, the money they're generating in terms of revenues from the existing BARDA contract, the size of the contract ahead of them. It's clearly they're stuck in some kind of shorters loop. And once that breaks out, and I have seen it in the past, when stocks do break out of it for, you know, if you squeeze the shorters, the stock can rally aggressively. And it hasn't on several occasions, but they just can't seem to sustain, the rallies can't seem to be sustained. So you just keep seeing these shorters come back in and smother the rally. But that said, they're off their lows, and hopefully we'll see that eventually break through. In the US, when it breaks, it really does break, and you get, you know, sizable returns. And the hope is they do. So that's that. Just more recently, they have a financing facility that was announced, I think, yesterday, which is actually on favorable terms. It's not like what we know here as death spirals, which are, you know, convertible loans struck at a discount. They're all struck at premiums. So, you know, given where they were in terms of doing equity placings at a discount, this is better. And the liquidity in the stock is high. So these facilities are quite good. So they got a first tranche of about $5 million. So they have the headroom. They have the revenue coming in from BARDA. They just need to break the short. And one day that'll happen. And when it does, you know, usually I think everyone knows how a short squeeze happens, is the shorters get caught out by overwhelming buying. And then all of a sudden they have to become buyers to, you know, to cover their stock.
And surely that will happen if they release some good news, you know, Spectrum MD, because normally that flushes them out, doesn't it? If you release some really good news, all of a sudden the stock pops and they have to cover their shorts and you get double the buying pretty much.
Absolutely, you've got it. And the next year ahead is a very news-rich year for the company, because they'll be looking for, you know, completion of trials, they're going to be submitting an FDA. They've already received UK CA approval for their first, so they're approved here in the UK for their first indication. And, you know, all of that is ahead of them in the next 12 to 18 months. You'll get U.S. approvals, you'll get completion of hopefully successful trials. And that is meaningful in the U.S. These are meaningful bits of news flow. Their stock has rallied very aggressively on lesser news flow. So, you know, testament to that, they've put out smaller announcements and they've seen, in some cases, 100% increases in their stock, right? And that catches the shorters out. It really genuinely does. But you need kind of overwhelming sustained buying for a while to really catch them out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you want to see a nice chart that a company I own this week? Sometimes, and this is an example of, for, I mean, it's not shorters, but the company here had a fund selling, Trufin it's called. Now it's got, look at that, it's at three, this fund was selling here, and other funds came in and took the place. And look at that, it just went from like literally 45 pence to 68 pence.
That's amazing.
In what, a month or so, which is nice. This company worth looking at. It's basically it's a holding company. They hold three different businesses here, and one is a gaming company which has done very well. In fact, they just released their biggest game ever. They've got five games going to be releasing this year. There's two other parts of the business. There's the Targo, which is invoice financing. Now, their biggest customer is Lloyds Bank, and so Lloyds had a trial with them, and Lloyds liked their invoice financing so much they threw their own out. And now started using this, called Stargo. Mm-hmm. And they've also got an early payment scheme called Oxygen, which is the biggest lender to local authorities and early payment suppliers. And that's doing very well as well. And literally, they reckon Stargo's value, I mean, it's only starting to commercialize now, but Stargo's value on its own is going to be worth 100 million in 2025. This is valued at 56 million. Oxygen had an offer over a year ago. They rejected an offer at Oxygen of 26 million. So that's half the value of Trufin. And it's the target of the other part. It's worth about 100 million. And then you've got PlayStack on top, which is now a profitable games making company, which is a. But that's what happens when you get a seller in. And sometimes, you know, it's disjointed from the valuations of the company. Isn't it? When you see that happening in the market, a seller coming in, that's when you can pick up bargains. Is when you know there's a seller and you think, hang on, what's going on here? And it's nothing to do with the business. And like I said, with Spectral MD, the business is going fine. But there's, you know, technical problem in the market going on.
Yeah.
There's a technical issue that brings the share price down.
It creates opportunities. I mean, I know, you know, people have bought stock at 170 or whatever. It's, you know, it's gone up to 270. You know, these are sizable returns when, you know, you can play it like that. But you're right. Definitely these are technical issues. And let's hope it gets resolved. And, you know, it should eventually reflect in fundamental value of the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one more chat. I remember yesterday, one of my favorite companies, Silver Bullet, they announced a nice little chart that keeps dipping down. People buying the dip, but today they announced a renewal of contracts with Heineken and Green King pubs, which in fact, and a new contract with Green King AI as well. So it's nice to see. I quite like when you see small companies, you know, having partnerships or contracts with very global companies. It sort of validates them in some way, doesn't it? You know.
No, definitely. 100%.
And,
you know, basically it's like you started off with saying it's the sub 100 million market cap businesses where you see the greatest return. And indeed, I mean, I think it's coming. I think that we're still having, I think March was a difficult month. January, February were good months for small caps. March is kind of, for some reason, leveled off again. But you're seeing the opportunities come up again. You know, stocks, just to show how aggressively stocks, they rallied some 30, 40%, some higher in the first 2 months of this year in the small cap arena. And now they've come back off again. But, it, you know, this, in my opinion, this is the time to buy.
Yeah, this is good here. The aim all share, like, the bottom was, let's say, 26th of October, 2023, rallied hard. You know, it's a very heck of a rally that.
Yeah.
And, up to December. So you're going to have some consolidation and pullback here. But what's nice is it's not just collapsing. It's, you know, we've got the support level here and it's flattening out. You see there's less volatility. So more stocks are settling at a higher level here.
Yeah.
Off this low. And so hopefully now they're saying June maybe interest rate reduction. It should look ahead of that. And maybe we'll also have start of a rally in the second quarter. I didn't say a while back. So, you know, after the rally we've had from October, I think the first quarter is going to be a bit tricky. But I think, yeah, the second quarter and third, I think we'll look a lot better. But just have patience, you know, and if you're in good stocks, you know, hold on to them because I think the market's turning. In fact, it's nuts, the S&P in America, all-time high there. And Powell yesterday was you know, being a bit more accommodative on his talk, on his rhetoric sort of thing, saying, you know, there will be three reductions this year, or two or three. And so it's happening this year. We don't know which month, but it's happening, you know, and that'll be very good for the markets. When the direction of travel is going down on interest rates, the markets will rally strongly, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is people still remember rates from a long time ago were higher, but just the structure of our economies has changed over the, you know, the last 4 or 5 decades. That's where I'm talking about, you know, earlier on, we were talking about the natural rate, and it feels like, you know, it's not just a 2 or 3% cut that'll bring us to neutral rates. It's actually a 5% cut that brings us down to neutral rates. Okay. So, you know, people don't imagine that 0% interest rates are neutral, but it turns out that that's the consensus estimate on neutral natural rates are actually closer to zero in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a long way to go down is my point without being inflationary.
Yeah, exactly. And just one final thing, I didn't know this. Did you know the FTSE 250 over the last 20 years, I don't know what cutoff year was, has outperformed the S&P 500 by 20%. And I didn't know that. It's phenomenal. And I thought, if you look at it now, though, when you think of how beaten down the FTSE 250, that's the FTSE 100. If you look at how beaten down the 250 is and how much the S&P has rallied, I could say there's probably more scope for gains in the FTSE 250 in the UK than there is, you know, for the S&P 500, because it's nuts, the S&P 500. You know,
I think they're nosebleed levels. It would be very difficult to invest in the S&P at this, or the DAX or the Nikkei. You know, those markets are ahead of, in my opinion, ahead of themselves. And there are certain bargain markets, like you say, the 250, because, the FTSE 100, we all agree, it's not in sectors that represent, you know, the Magnificent Seven. They're not tech. It's not, I hate to say it, it's not the future. It's kind of the past, you know, some mineral, oil and gas companies. There's overrepresented by financials. All these things aren't like the major growth sectors that we're seeing in the S&P that are driving the S&P. But the 250 has many of those companies. And that's, I agree with you. I think the 250 is a good chopping ground. Because I think it's 100% now, the differential, the PE differential between UK and US companies. So, you know, you have a PE that's it's mispriced here.
Yeah, exactly.
Or overpriced there. But the truth is always somewhere in the middle, which means you're buying cheap here.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people, final thing, I know you have to shoot off, but a lot of people are saying, you know, hitting the UK markets, you know, it's never going to rally. And do you know what? They say that until it does. And it always tends to rally. You know, it always has rallied in the past. There's no reason why it shouldn't happen. You watch the money inflow happen when it starts to rally. That's all it is. But, you know, people say doom mongers, oh, it's never going to rally. It's pointless. You just go to US stocks. Do you know what? I think it's, like I say, a lot more upside now in the FTSE 250 than it is in the S&P 500. Marvelous stuff, Vadim. Thanks for that. And we'll speak to you next weeky.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.